You know, there's rolling through my mind as they sing that song. And this verse is very applicable to what I feel the Lord would have me bring this morning. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget who you're in and who's in you. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Judges? Judges chapter 1. And we're going to begin reading at verse 1. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Judges chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. And Judah said unto Simeon his brother, Come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I likewise will go with thee unto thy lot. So Simeon went with him. And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of come up with me into my lot. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I ask you to anoint me to bring your word to your people. Lord, I love your people. They're precious to you and they're precious to me. And Lord, I ask today that you would help me to preach what I feel you want me to in a way that would glorify you and remind us all of the glorious position that we possess in Christ Jesus as believers in him exclusively. Lord, help me today. Anoint me today, Lord. There won't be any good come, Lord Jesus, except you move in me and through me and make me your mouthpiece today. And I humbly ask that, Lord Jesus. And then it will be a blessing to your people and it will build them up in Jesus. And that's what I know your Holy Spirit wants to do, and I want to see that happen today. Lord, the hour is late. Your coming is soon. And the powers of darkness are more rampant and diabolical than I believe they've been throughout history. We need to know who we're in and who's in us. Help us today, Lord Jesus, and we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Yesterday afternoon, as I was contemplating today's message and what the Lord would have me to bring, I was watching Sun Life TV. And Brother Donnie Swaggart was preaching from camp meeting message from Thanksgiving of 2007, and I'd never seen this particular broadcast before. And he was preaching a tremendous message on, in essence, not leaning on the arm of the flesh or any man-made system for our spiritual survival and sustenance, that, of course, it must be in Christ, and what he did at the cross is the only power that we possess as believers. And he stopped in the midst of it and it was just about halfway through it. And he began using the illustration. He said, I've got this friend in Ohio. He's about 6'4" and weighs 300 pounds. And he was gracious to me on that. I appreciate it. All of a sudden I realized, wait, he's talking about me. and he began to relate the story I'd shared with him when he preached a revival for us over at Christ Chapel. And at that time in my life, I was really going through a spiritual struggle, to say the least, fighting with all that was in me to want to bring the message of the cross to the Springfield area and that particular church and body of people, knowing that it was being by most rejected in toto, and fighting with the struggle of the denomination I'd been in most of my life, and now being a district overseer in it, being a leader in it, just having come from a meeting at state offices where they had us do all kind of wacky stuff, and I didn't endear myself to them too much up there during those meetings. I've shared with you some of the things that they wanted us to do, but I shared that with Donnie on the way home that Sunday morning from revival, the struggle I was having, and I said, pray for me, Donnie. I said, I feel it's coming to a head, and they're either going to take me out or I'm going to have to leave, one of the two. I said, it's intense. And he told me, and I'll never forget it. He looked over at me in the truck that I had then, and through tear-filled eyes, he said, Greg, I know exactly what you're going through. And he said, we'll pray for you. And he began to relate that story of how they were trying to use psychological techniques to get us to trust one another and sit down and tell one another our deepest, darkest secrets and our deepest sins. You know, wanted us to pair off and confess to one another, which is absurdity. What could man possibly hope to accomplish by that? You know, the Bible does say, you know, confess your sins, but that's to Jesus Christ. And when it refers to confess your faults to one another, don't confuse that either. That scripture means if you've hurt another person and you're aware of it, you go to them and you ask them for forgiveness. It doesn't mean you confess your sins to them, because that won't do. That makes us no different than the Catholic Church if we're confessing our sins to men. What can man do for you? And then Donnie was relating how, and I knew what I was doing when I did it, but I thought, this is it, in that meeting. I thought, I've got to take a stand for Jesus Christ here, or else I'm just going to play the denominational game, which for a time I was very good at doing. That's how I got to be a district overseer. I always loved Jesus, but I knew how to, it's not that hard to work the denomination. I'm here to tell you. It's really not. I believe, and I'm going to make a shocking statement here, I believe that you could not even be saved in every denomination I'm aware of anyway and climb the ladder and achieve a high status in it. Why? Because the denomination is worshipped. And as long as your allegiance is to the denomination and you show them such, then you're going to go places. And I knew the heart of the individuals and the spirit of the individuals in that meeting, and they were blindly following what they were told to do. And I'm not being prideful about this, and I'm not lifting myself up for it. I'm just relating it as it was. It was a climatic moment in my ministry that in my heart I knew the Lord had me at that crossroads, and the Lord himself was asking me, are you going to follow me, or are you going to follow this denomination? And thank God he gave me the fortitude to choose him. And I wasn't prideful about it. I wasn't arrogant about it. But I told the gentleman leading the meeting and our state overseer then, I said, I can't do this. First, I shared with you, they wanted us to sit down and stare into one another's eyes for 3 minutes and told us to read one another's souls. Now, this came out of the school of theology of the denomination that we were with at that time. Think of that. What is that? That's witchcraft. Stare into one another's eyes and read one another's souls. That's what we were told to do under the auspices, under the authority of the leader of the state, who's supposed to be the spiritual authority and spiritual leader of all the preachers in the state of that denomination. Not one word was raised by him to say, stop this, no, this isn't right. He had his full sanction on it. And I said, I can't do this. Of course, that endeared me to them greatly. But then they went on, and then they had us do this other exercise. After that, I thought, Lord, is this ever going to end? And this is what Donnie was sharing, because it is humorous. They told us to pair off in a group of four. Okay, so I'm thinking, what's this now? I'm thinking, I'm probably not going to be able to do this either. I didn't know what they was going to ask us to do. And they put me and three other preachers who were probably about the size of Chris, let me say it this way. They were about the size of Chris about 3 years ago, okay? 3 or 4 years ago. And I don't mean that as a slam, Chris. You look great. But at one time, Chris was not as robust as he is now, okay? He was. And then they told us, they said, what we want you all to do is take turns, form a circle, take turns. Everybody get in the circle, and you fall back into the arms of those behind you. This is supposed to build trust among you preachers, you know, for one another. Well, that's foolish too. I don't want to trust a man. If it did build trust in me towards somebody else, that's not right. And I'm looking at these three guys, and you know, they're looking at me, and I had to say again, I ain't going to do this one, boys. You know, I think they were. I saw the look of relief on their faces. I mean, I had some support on this one. I didn't on the first one, but on this one, they were, yes, you're hearing from God on this one, Brother Greg. But I had to tell them, no, I can't do this. And ultimately, you know, the overseer was obviously upset with me for not being a participant and going along. And I just told him, I said, Brother Childers, I'm going to have to leave this meeting. And Donnie related that, but he was drawing the correlation of leaning on man-made ways and man-made methods for our victory and for our spiritual survival. And that will always bring. Now think of what it would have been, bearing in mind me. And Donnie brought this out too. If I'd have got them three little guys behind me, and Chris isn't a little guy, but I mean in comparison to me, most people are little, you know. Everybody likes to stand next to me if they're, you know, so I make everybody look small. But imagine that. It would have been futile, you know. They couldn't have cut, you know, me just leaning back, and I'd have crushed them all probably, you know. I know all three of them couldn't have caught me. It would have been foolishness. But that's a perfect picture. When mankind tries to achieve his own victories, when mankind tries to live in this life outside of Jesus Christ, that's a picture of what you have. It'll be utter chaos. It'll bring about futility. It'll bring about frustration to the believer, and it will severely damage the believer's faith, because Jesus Christ is the only thing we have to trust in. I don't want to place my faith in people, a denomination. I don't want to place it in Brother Swagger, as much as I love him. My faith rests in Jesus Christ, because only Jesus paid the price on the cross to deliver me. God only honors the finished work of Christ on the cross. Never forget that. Never forget that. He will not aid human effort in the least. He will only honor the victory that Jesus Christ won on the cross. And that victory is altogether glorious. It's altogether sufficient. It's altogether powerful enough to provide you and I with every victory over every situation that we are ever going to face. It can provide you victory over loneliness. It can provide you victory over financial problems. It can provide you victory over marital problems. But it must be turned to exclusively. And Jesus Christ, in his love and grace and mercy, has made provision for us to have access to all the power that he has. My Lord, my Lord, when he said all power is given unto me under heaven and earth, that power is accessible to anyone who will trust exclusively in him and what he did at the cross. Hallelujah. That's glorious. That's glorious. But to not trust in that is to bring about certain failure and certain frustration. In our text this morning, Israel had just come out of a period under Joshua, who himself was a type of Jesus Christ, where in the battles and conquering the land that God had given. Now watch this. You need to see this. God told Joshua in the beginning of the book that bears his name, I've already given the land unto you. It's yours. But you have to go forth in my name and obeying my directions and my instructions, and drive these other tribes out of the land that I've already given to you. Now, why are you taking time to bring that out, Pastor? This is glorious. Because if our faith is in Jesus Christ, our victory is guaranteed. You can't lose. My Lord, I must not be saying it right. Our victory is guaranteed. Your victory is guaranteed over whatever is in front of you. And it's always going to be something that is far above your head. God's going to see to it that we as humans cannot handle. But He can and has already addressed it by giving His life on the cross. Whatever it is. Hallelujah. Whatever it is. And that was a type of the commandment given to Joshua. I've already given it to you. But you're going to have to fight some battles along the way. And what God required was for them to just show up on the battlefield. And He said, I'll tell you exactly what to do. Now, God could have Himself just driven all of these tribes out by His mighty power and say, there it is. But what God wants to achieve in every one of His children's lives is a trust in Him. He wants to build a knowledge of His glorious character in you and I, to where we not only know about Him, but we know Him. We know what He will like and what He won't like. We'll know what He will do and what He won't do. We'll come to know His faithfulness to us in every situation we're ever going to face in this life, even when we're not faithful to Him. It's called grace. Hallelujah. If it was contingent upon us performing perfectly, we'd never get anything from Him. But praise God, it's not contingent upon that. It's based and predicated upon our faith. And if the faith is right, hallelujah, this can't be over-preached enough. It can't be taught enough. We can't hear it enough. If our faith is right, hallelujah, our victory is guaranteed over whatever circumstance is in front of us. It might be grief. It might, I can name a plethora of issues, whatever it is. If you're in Christ Jesus, if you'll keep believing Him, your victory is guaranteed. He has already given you the land. Hallelujah. We already have access to all the power of heaven through faith in Christ Jesus. And under Joshua's command, with the exception of Ai, Israel never lost a battle. They lost at Ai because they held on to the accursed thing. They had an idol in the camp. But outside of that, they took large portions of the promised land. And now Joshua has died. And Israel has still not walked into the fullness of what God has already given to them. And they have to go and fight these people called the Canaanites to drive them out. And as we begin reading the book of Judges, this book begins gloriously, but it also begins 400 years of the darkest of Israel's history as a nation. Because it wouldn't be long after this text we read this morning that they would begin to splinter and fight, and they would begin to turn from Jehovah God and look unto their own strength and power to achieve what God had given them. And that just can't be done. It just can't be done. But as they go and to fight the Canaanites, this was done by the use of the Urim and Thummim of the high priest. I think I've told you this before, but it bears bringing out again. The high priest had over his heart, behind the ephod, that had the 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. When that high priest went in and stood before God, he would walk in and stand with his hands open after he had offered the sacrifice on the mercy seat. And the idea was he was presenting Israel as a nation to God. And behind that ephod was a little pouch that had two things, two stones called the Urim and the Thummim. And I've read Bible scholar after Bible scholar. Nobody is certain what was on these stones, but we do know this. There was a positive response and a negative response. In other words, a yes and no stone for our purposes today. And whenever the king or the leader of Israel had to inquire of God, they would go to the high priest and they would ask the question. And this time, the question was asked, who's going to be the first tribe to go up and fight for us? And the high priest went in, and tribe by tribe, it came. And finally, the lot fell through the use of the Urim and Thummim. God said, send up Judah. Send up Judah first, the largest of the 12 tribes numerically. And also this, Judah means praise. Judah means praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why when we come to church, we need to come with the idea of who we are in Christ Jesus. We need to come with the idea of what we're here for. We have come to praise the mightiest individual in the universe, the one who will be the mightiest for all time and eternity, and the one who has freely by His grace given us access to His mighty power. Hallelujah. That's enough to make you praise no matter what Chris and them are singing, even though it's all good. But if they would sing something it was kind of off the wall a little bit, I'm here to tell you, I've come to praise Jesus. My mind is on Jesus. My mind is on His victory. My mind is on His promise. My mind is on His guarantee. And that creates a spirit of praise in me. Hallelujah. As it should in every believer. Glory to God. We should not come in here dead and worried about, oh God, am I going to make it through the week? That's a poor faith. You're going to make it because He guarantees you're going to make it if you'll keep believing Him. I don't care what's in front of you. And the lot falls to Judah. And God says, I've given the Canaanites into Judah's hand. I read the other day again the scripture, and now it escapes me where it is, where Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. For years I've heard that preached to how Satan's just an old toothless lion. You're a fool if you believe that. You're a fool if you believe that. He goes about as a roaring lion, the Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you're outside of Jesus Christ, he can eat you up alive. But if you're in Jesus Christ, he can't even purr at you like a pussycat unless God gives him permission to. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. He goes about as a roaring lion. If you're outside of Christ, he may appear to be a roaring lion and deadly. And at times, even in Christ, he tries to appear like he's more powerful and greater than you are. But he isn't. Glory to God. Know your position in Christ Jesus, believer. Never forget the glory and the power that belong to you as a blood-washed, Holy Ghost-filled child of the living God. Your victory's guaranteed. Falls to Judah, go up against the Canaanites. It's a perfect picture of the child of God walking out against the forces of darkness. And you can call whatever Satan's throwing in front of you, whatever he's trying to overcome you with this morning, whatever he has you fearful of. Let me tell you, it's okay to be fearful. We're fearful people. These stupid Word of Faith teachers, man, I ain't afraid of nothing. I bet they're afraid of the dark. I bet they cry like schoolgirls. Why? They're human beings, and we're fearful people. Why do you think Jesus often said so much, fear not, fear not, fear not? But I'm going to tell you something that you probably don't hear too often in the church world right now. It's taught that fear and faith cannot coexist with one another. They do all the time. They do all the time. I know King David was probably scared to death in his flesh when he went and got 5 smooth stones. But he knew that if this giant kills me, if God doesn't give me the victory, I'm going to heaven. So therefore, I, in my flesh, I'm afraid. But I'm going to go and I'm going to put me a stone in my slingshot and I'm going to walk out there and fling it in the name of the Lord. Never forget, God Almighty goes with you into battle. Never forget who's going with you when you walk out to face your giant or your circumstance. It is not greater than you, because I preach it again. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in you than what's in front of you. And God selected Judah. Now, oh, this is so good. Lord, help me to get through this morning without wearing everybody out. There's so much good stuff in this the Lord wants me to bring out. Judah going out to face being selected by God to go out and face the Canaanites. The very second you put your faith in Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross, you became the elected of God and you became the selected of God. Hallelujah. All of a sudden in Jesus, you have been selected for victory. Glory to God. You have been selected in Jesus to go out and fight and win, and your victory be guaranteed, for God has already given you the victory. And he told Judah's the one. Send them first. Now watch this. Judah, in this story in Judges, is a representation of Christ and his mighty power. And this so illustrates, if the Lord helps me to preach it right, the grace and the mercy that God has toward us. Simeon was numerically the smallest of Israel's tribes. Weak in number. Simeon, the tribe of Simeon, if you study this out, they would have had no chance, due to their smallness, to gain any of the inheritance that God had given everybody, that God had given Israel. But the first thing Judah does, knowing that they have been selected to go out first and they've been guaranteed the victory, he turns to weak little Simeon, who without Judah would never have any inheritance of the land whatsoever. And Judah turns to Simeon and says, come on up with me into my lot, and we'll go fight the Canaanites together. Because Judah knew the victory had already been given. Now what's the correlation here? On the cross, Jesus Christ won our victory. He won our victory in totality over everything that was ever going to come before us. He addressed it that day with his precious shed blood. And when we are in Christ, why do you think 2 Corinthians tells us, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All is made new. The Bible says we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Judah says, come on up with me. Never forget the day you gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ and his blood cleansed your soul. He called you. Come up into me. Hallelujah. And when you put faith in what he did for you at the cross, God spiritually took you and placed you in him. Glory to God. You went up into the lot of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who's already won the victory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Don't forget your glorious position in Christ Jesus. Satan would not have you think of this. And you know, we need such a reminder of it. All of us. We need daily reminded of our glorious position spiritually that we possess in Christ Jesus. He is our heavenly Judah. And he has called us to come up into him. And he has won an inheritance with us and for us that he will freely share with us by his grace. He said, come on up into me and to my lot. Now watch this. And then he says, Judah tells Simeon, I'll come into you and your lot. Glory to God. When John 14 promised us, Jesus promised us the mighty infilling of the Holy Ghost, we were in the same position spiritually that the tribe of Simeon was. We were lost. We had nothing to lean on. We had no power nor ability to gain any type of inheritance from God Almighty. But Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, stood up and called us, come up into my lot. Come up into my victory that I've already won, that I'll freely give and share with you. And he calls us not only to come up into his lot, but he further says, I'll come down to you and into your lot. My Lord, what a thought that we could be filled with the mighty Holy Ghost of God. That's how Jesus came into us. Praise God. And according to Romans 6, this doctrine of spiritual interpenetration, us in Christ, Christ in us. The Bible says that Christ in you, the hope of glory. Never forget on the basis of your faith, you're in Christ and Christ is in you. Hallelujah. That guarantees your victory because He's given you His victory. Glory to God. Imagine how Simeon must have felt. Judah, the strongest of Israel, says, come on up with me into my lot, and I'll come down into your lot. That's so glorious. This thing is driving me crazy. I keep looking at it, flopping around. This is a short pocket here, and that handkerchief just won't fit in it all the way, and it's puffing out like a gigantic balloon, and I keep seeing it flopping, and I'm like, what is that? It's glorious. When Judah is calls Simeon to come into him, and then Judah comes into Simeon. What does that mean? That means they're now one. They're one tribe going out to fight against the foes that are before them. Having been guaranteed the victory of God, I'm here to tell you that's why God won't honor anything but the finished work of the cross for victory. Because only Jesus won the victory. Only Jesus was capable of winning the victory. And only Jesus is able to maintain that victory. But He won it all for us that day on the cross. Now in this life, on this side of heaven, we're not going to see the fullness of the inheritance that He won for us. But what we must know is that when we step out to fight the spiritual fight, the good fight of faith, that Christ is in us and we're in Christ. Never forget that. Never forget that. It's a glorious truth. And it will carry you through victory after victory. Because He has ways of providing the victory that we haven't even dreamed of. Never forget that we were like Simeon. Weak, ineffective, having no hope of gaining what we needed. You know, somebody the other day, it was some time back, years ago. I had a misconstrued view of my job as a minister. I really did. I tried to be the Holy Spirit to everybody. Now, it was an act of love. It wasn't an act of pride on my part. But that if they were hurting in any way, I felt I had to be there. If they needed something, I felt I had to be the one to be there as their pastor. I felt that was my job as pastor. And it kept me uptight a lot of the time. Why? Because nobody can do that. No man can do that. Now, I still led my people to Christ, but yet I felt like I had to be there too. But when I learned the message of the cross, you know the greatest thing that has liberated me as a pastor? Is to know I don't have to do any of that, and it's not in my job description to do any of that, because I'm just a man. I can't do nothing for nobody. But I'm here to tell you, that's why I stress it so hard. I don't want nobody looking to Greg Browning. I mean, if you're in your darkest hour, you call me. I'm going to pray for you, but I mean looking to me in the sense that I'm going to be the one that's going to provide you solace. I'm going to be the one that's going to give you some kind of word that's going to help you overcome your situation. Because I'm here to tell you, if you're looking at me as your pastor that way, just let me tell you right now, you're going to be very, very disappointed. I'll guarantee you. And I remember this particular lady had called me, and, you know, I felt so bad. And she was like, you weren't here. You know, I thought, I can't be everywhere at once. I had something else going on that I thought was more important. You know, it was more of a dire situation. I had to make calls like that then. Now I don't worry about it. That's why in my preaching and in my teaching, I lead you to Jesus Christ. Because He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's the one that won your victory on the cross. And He'll be there with you. King David said it best, if I make my bed in hell, thou art with me. Hallelujah. He will follow you everywhere you go. The Holy Ghost will be with you all the time. And if I can teach you to trust in Him, you're always going to have access to the victory that He won for you. And He will do things for you that no man can do, that no program can do, that no denomination can do, because He is God. Hallelujah. And He'll provide you with the help. He'll give you wisdom. He'll provide you solace if you need that. Whatever you need, He'll give you. He'll give you. Don't dare think you always need a man there or a pastor or somebody with a fivefold ministry gift. And it blesses me to see Shannon back there nodding her head, because I know the past few years she's went through hell on earth. But He's been there with you, hadn't He, Shannon? In ways that no human could have been. In your dark hours, and others of you know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. When I used to look to somebody to come and pray over me or something, I have learned His character. I have learned His promises are true. He has tested me in the fight. And I've walked out of many a time scared to death with my knees knocking. But He went with me and He gave me the victory. He said, come on up into me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's glorious, isn't it? That's glorious. My Lord, my Lord. Like the old song says, why should we be discouraged? Why does our heart fear? His eye is on the sparrow. Watch this. How can He forget you if He's made you one with Him? How could He ever forget you? He can't. He won't. He may call you to go out to the battlefield. He's going to call all of us to go out to the battlefield. Sometimes God, and we all wish God was this way all the time. We really do. In our human flesh, we wish, really, that the Word of Faith people were right. Don't we, Mike? I'll be honest with you. In my flesh, I so wish they were right. Wouldn't it be so wonderful if they were, where we would just speak things away? But it don't work, does it? Because sometimes to build trust in us, to build knowledge of the character of God, to build knowledge that His promises can be tested and proven, He says, I'll give you the victory. That we're guaranteed of. Jesus gave us that at the cross. And this whole sermon is predicated on the fact and with the assumption that your faith is in Christ and what He did for you on the cross. But sometimes He's going to say, I want you to go out and fight the Canaanites. I'm not just going to wipe this one away for you. I want you to go out and fight this one. But He's telling us, you're in my lot, and I've come down to your lot. Your victory is guaranteed. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. That so blesses me. And there have been times in my life when I've walked out to face the Canaanites, and I've walked out scared to death, not sure if He was going to come through. And to be sure, at times it's been a battle, but He's never failed to give me the victory. That needs to sink in on all of us. I want you to think back over your life for a moment as we begin to close. Number one, don't forget your position in Him. Don't forget. Secondly, don't forget His position in you. We talk a lot about our position in Christ, but what about Christ's position in us? Whew, it's a glorious thought, isn't it? That the Lord of glory, by the agency of His precious Holy Spirit, has taken up residence on the inside of you and I. And He's there all the time. Never, as long as our faith is in Christ and what He did at the cross. Think of how foolish man's way is to build trust. Stand in a circle and fall back. That's the very best man can give you. That's the best they got. That's the best they can offer. But my Lord, how many times over the course of our lives has our heavenly Judah, Jesus Christ, called us up into Him and says, it's all right. The victory's already yours. And the Bible tells us, that Simeon in Judah went out at Bezek and killed tens of thousands of the Canaanites. The victory was given. They had to go fight, but the victory was given. That's why the Bible tells us to fight the good fight of faith. Why is it a good fight? It's called a good fight because if your faith is in Christ, you can't lose. You can't lose. My Lord, every heavyweight boxer or any kind of boxer in the world would like to have those kind of odds. That when you walked into the ring, it didn't matter how big your opponent was. It didn't matter how much faster, how much in better shape he was than you. That you were guaranteed to win every time you took the ring. Brian, that would be good in the triathlon, wouldn't it? If you knew every time you hopped on the bicycle, or every time you jumped in the water and run the 10K run, nobody can beat me. I don't care if I'm up against, who's that guy, Brian, that won all the bicycle races? Lance Armstrong. Yeah, it don't matter. You know, it's like Brian going out in a race against Lance Armstrong. It don't matter. Brian's in Christ. The victory's his. Hallelujah. He's in Christ. Christ is in him. He can't lose. That's a good fight. Amen. That's a good contest. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't be like them Buckeyes last night. Blow a 27-point lead. That's what man does. That's what we do when we look to the arm of the flesh. But you can't lose in Christ. He goes with you. If your faith's in him, he's going with you. And he has already won the victory. Sure, you may have to be a participant in the battle. Because it's in those battles. I feel the Holy Spirit leading me to press hard on this. God's not going to wipe away all the battles. It's simply not going to happen. Get that kind of thinking out of your head. The proper biblical thinking is that if God's calling me to the battle, he's going to give me the victory. Even though it's against a foe or a circumstance that is far above me and far more powerful than me. If I'll believe him, he's in me, I'm in him. I've got his inheritance. I've got his power. I've got his authority standing behind me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may have to go out and fight, but the victory has already been given to you in Jesus Christ. And don't let the enemy tell you, when you get fearful, when the lightning's flashing and the thunder's roaring, and the sea is all askew, and it seems like you're going to sink. Never forget who's in the boat with you. Never forget who's in the boat with you. Praise God. And the Lord told me to remind everybody this morning. It reminded me this week. We need reminded. I know this is no new concept to you. What the Lord just told me in delivering this message, there are some there who need to be reminded. And I thought, Lord, we can't be reminded enough because we're so quick to forget it. The glorious position that we have in Jesus Christ. We need to be reminded of the guarantee of victory that is ours in Jesus Christ. And we need to be reminded of who's in us and who we're in. And you remember those things. There still may be fear at times, but you keep trusting in him. Victory is going to come. Victory is going to come. I don't care what it's over. I don't care how daunting the circumstance. If you'll keep trusting him, your victory is guaranteed. Your victory is guaranteed. Praise God. See, we want an instant pudding. And if God is trying to build in us a trust in him and trying to build in us faith and trying to build in us a knowledge of his tremendous unfailing character and a knowledge of his person, he's going to let the battle get pretty hot sometimes. The Holy Spirit doesn't tell us in the text we read this morning how quickly all these Canaanites were driven out. We really don't need to. The fact is, they were driven out. Victory came. And that's really all we need to know. So, I don't know who needed this message this morning. We all needed a reminder of it, but maybe it's been specifically applicable to you today. And maybe you just needed this reminder of who's in you and who you're in. And he's called you, come on up with me into my lot. Judah was telling Simeon, you're not going to be able to do nothing, and I realize that, but I love you. Come on up with me into my inheritance, Jesus calls us to. Come on up with me into the power that I have. Come on up with me into my knowledge and wisdom that I'll freely give to you, my child, because he loves you. Sometimes that simple truth we forget in the struggles of this life, and Satan wants us to forget it. God loves you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And if you trust Jesus Christ, your victory is guaranteed because you're in Christ and Christ is in you. Just like Judah told Simeon, come on up with me into my lot and I'll come down with you into your lot. Your victory is guaranteed. You cannot fail. Look past the fear. It's all right that it's there. He understands it. But he's building something in you. He's building a deeper level of faith. He's building a deeper level of trust. He's building a deeper knowledge of who he is and what he can do in us when we believe him. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise today? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Would you stand? Heavenly Father, today we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I've got to believe with you having me deliver a message like this that some are in the heat of battle right now. And Lord, maybe they've forgotten who's in them and who they're in. Lord Jesus, today I ask you to remind us all by the power of your Spirit that our victory in you is guaranteed. We cannot lose because we have been called up into the heavenly Judah's lot. We have been called up into the inheritance that Jesus Christ appropriated from God the Father. That's why Jesus, our dear Jesus, you told us all power under heaven and earth is given unto me. Praise God. Praise God. And Lord, we may not see, just like Israel never has yet to see, all the inheritance she was promised, but it's one day going to come. Lord, we may not see it all this side of heaven, but this thing we can be guaranteed of. Our victory is certain if we'll keep believing you. Lord, remind all of us of that today. Send your Holy Spirit to work deep in us today. In Jesus' name. And now with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just sense spiritually that wars have been raging. God's called you to the battle, and you've been fighting to the best of your knowledge. You've kept your faith right. You haven't trusted in your power, but the battle has not yet assuaged. And Satan might have been trying to tell you that you're not going to overcome this. It may appear even right now like defeat has occurred, but your God is a master at taking defeat and turning it into victory, and he can do it. Your heavenly Judah, he's the only one who can do that. But he took what looked like defeat at the cross of Calvary and 3 days later turned it into the biggest victory the world will ever know when he rose his son from the dead. Praise God. Don't believe the lie that the enemy's trying to tell you that the battle is over and it's lost and you're defeated. I charge you this morning, remember your position in Christ. Remember Christ's position in you. There is no defeat in Jesus Christ. And if you're in Christ, there can be no defeat in you as his child. Praise God, victory is going to come. Just trust him in the heat of the battle. Just trust him that he knows what he's doing. Trust him that he is able to turn anything that appears like defeat into victory, glory to God. Praise God. Wash over our souls and spirits with that today, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I just sense with all of my heart the Holy Spirit's given great revelation today into what I've tried to preach. And the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, you're the only one that can do it. Propel your people on to greater faith today, Lord. Propel your people, Lord, into greater knowledge of your character. Propel your people into greater revelation of their position in Christ and Christ's position in them. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And victory is coming, and it's guaranteed. They will not lose. They will not be defeated in the mighty name of Jesus, because our heavenly Judah has already won the inheritance, and he has called us into him, and he has come down into us. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Let the victory bells ring in your soul this morning because of Jesus and his glorious finished work on the cross. Amen and amen. Give him a hand of praise this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to the Lamb forever. Glory to the Lamb forever. Praise God. I pray this is one of those messages you'll take with you all week. And you'll remember when the battle gets hot and Satan tries to tell you you're going down. Or maybe it appears like it's already defeat. No, no, no. Thank God he don't have the final word on everything. Your heavenly Judah has the final word, Jesus Christ. You're in him. He's in you. It's not over, and you're not defeated. Praise God. Praise God. Well, it's been a joy to be with you again this morning. I love you all. I really do. And I want to see you looking to Christ for your everything. For your everything. I pray that the Lord gives me the mental turpitude to keep preaching it that way, where you're led to him. You're led to him, where it's instilled in your spirit, irremovable and irrevocably, that Jesus will help me. Jesus will give me victory. Jesus will take care of me, because he went to the cross for me. And I have been placed in him, and he has come down by the power of his Holy Spirit and filled my life. Amen. Praise God. It's been good to be in the house of God this morning. I pray most of you, I believe, have a day off tomorrow. I know we do in the government, but of course we get Groundhog Day off in the government. They seem to invent holidays. And I'm not complaining about that. But if you do have it off, I hope you enjoy the rest of your extended holiday weekend. Come back with us, if you can, on Wednesday night. We are going to be finishing up, hopefully this week, on looking at hell from after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've had some great classes on this subject of hell. So if you can, come out and be with us. If you can't, I would get a copy of the CDs and listen to them. I believe they'll be a blessing to you. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Helen, would you come dismiss us in prayer this morning? I've killed you, ain't I? Come on up here. I just love Helen. I tell you, she has just meant so much to me. She's a great woman of God, and I tell you what.